Hello, Sister Saint, Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, today I thought for some sister sharing, I would share with you what went on yesterday. So yesterday we were headed into town to do some errands, and I was talking about, I made an audio for us sisters to encourage us about being ready and our witness. We don't know who's watching us and stuff. And I was kind of excited, wondering if I might be able to share the gospel. And praise God, I was able to. So was Brother James. At one place, we went to a thrift store we'd never been before. And there was an older lady there. And she seemed rather friendly. And I found two little plastic containers for Brother James. We found those for some things that he's been looking for. And so that was a really good deal. And anyway, Brother James said, oh, I'll meet you out in the van. And as she was checking me out, I gave her a gospel card. And I said, here's some good news for you. And she said, well, thank you, dear. And she stood there reading it. And then she slowly turned around and walked away reading it. And so I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Praise God for that. And I just wanted to say on that, it can be really easy while we're going about our business out in the world, and it can be really easy to kind of get swept away in what you're doing and maybe miss opportunities for conversation that might open up a door for a witnessing. And if that doesn't happen, then you go to checkout and you can almost kind of frighten yourself out of giving out gospel cards. And I used to be that way, and I'm not that way now. Some of the things I have to worry about is like what I just said. I might get a little bit distracted and forget. And so here, I just want to say this. So say you check out of the store and it's not busy or anything, and you go walking out and you're like, oh, I should have gave her a gospel card. You could turn around and give her one. Turn around, go back inside and say, here, I forgot to give this to you. You know, just because you leave the establishment doesn't mean you can't go back in and give a gospel card. And so, I mean, it doesn't always work in every situation, especially if there's like a bunch of people in line or something. So just sharing that with you. And then, oh, I was going to tell you this. This was so awesome. We went into a discount food store that we pop into pretty much every time we're in town, and we find some really good deals. Brother James found some awesome deals on dried fruit, and way, way cheaper than if we were to buy it fresh, and it lasts long. It's just great for van life. So we're very thankful about that. And in the meantime, he was down there looking at that. I was looking at something else. And in between, there was this woman who mentioned, she struck up a conversation with Brother James or something about the jerky, which is dried meat, in case you don't know what that is. And she was standing by there looking at it, and Brother James said, oh yeah, we usually stock up on it here for our trips when we go or whatever. And I heard her talking to him, so I kind of made my way down there, and I squatted down by the box where she was digging through. You know, there were like three or four for a dollar for a package of them or something. And I was like, wow, this is really an awesome deal. She goes, oh, I love it. She started talking about how she gets it for her daughter and it's a great deal and stuff. And so we talked about that for a little bit, and I was kind of rifling through. We didn't really need any, but I picked a few of them out. And I thought, well, this is going to be good, so I can give her a gospel card. She was super friendly. And so we were done, and we're just kind of still talking about it a little bit. She was a really good talker. It was awesome. And so when we were done, she said, oh, this is just so good. And I said, well, here, let me give you some good news. And I give her a gospel card. And a lot of times people are just like, oh, okay, thank you, especially when they're shopping. Then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm trapped in the store with them. And so I kind of do it in a really careful way. I just go, oh, and here's some good news for you, or whatever it is that goes with the conversation. And then I kind of look like I'm going to take my basket or, you know, my card or whatever. And so as not to feel like they're pressured that they're in the store, now they're going to keep encountering me and have to deal with something. And I let the Spirit open that up if there's going to be a conversation. And so when I gave that to her, she says, oh, well, that's interesting. Thank you. She goes, are you like non-denomination? And the area that we live in has a lot of Anabaptists. And I don't look like a Mennonite or Amish like most of them around here do. I look different. I look like a biblical Christian with long, loose, unadorned clothing. My head is covered, but I don't dress like they do. They have man-made traditions that they do, but that's not the point of this audio. And so she's kind of looking at me strange. And I said, absolutely not. And I gave her a testimony of where I came from, Lutheranism, Brother James, and how we started studying the scriptures, and we left all that. We'd forsaken it all for Christ. And I kind of explained how, you know, we read the scriptures and it doesn't line up with man-made religion out there. And she's nodding her head, and her eyes are getting wide. She's like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I see that. She goes, you know what? The worst treatment I ever got from people were from those in the churches. She said, I'm an ex-Baptist. She said, those people are wicked. Those religious people think they're something, and they're not. And I said, you know, just because people call themselves Christians doesn't mean that they are. She goes, oh, I know, I know. They call themselves that, and they think they're better than everybody, and then they go do the same things as everybody else. I said, oh, I know for sure. And she goes, you know what? That really burned me. She said, I turned into an atheist. She goes, I know. It's not just because of them, but that kind of pushed me that way. And she goes, but I knew that wasn't right. And she said, then I was an agnostic. And she said, I knew that wasn't right. And she said, just recently, it's been really bothering me. She said, I've been wanting to look, seek for something. And she goes, you know, what you're saying is, that sounds right. She said, that sounds kind of simple. And I said, you know, there's a simplicity in Christ. I said, it's hard, but it's not complicated. And she said, yeah, all those things those people do, it doesn't mean anything. And I said, absolutely. And then she said, you know what you said earlier, because I told her, you know, that Brother James Street preaches and we stand out on the flying gospel signs and we get to witness to people. She said, that just sounds right, not being in a building and having to deal with all that. And I said, yep, the money, the power, the corruption. She goes, corruption, tell me about it. A big Baptist corporation bought out their business, and I don't want to say too much. It seemed like a good business in the healthcare or something like that. And she said, they're shutting the doors, and people are going to suffer from it or whatever. And so you could tell she's very embittered by the religious people. And rightfully so, you know, sisters, we run into people all the time, and they're like, oh, yeah, you Christians, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You do the same thing as everybody else, but you think you're going to heaven for some reason. Well, she had that. And I said, you know, I got good news for you. I said, first of all, good for you. Get out of those places. Stay out of those places. She goes, oh, I ain't never going back in there. And I said, all you need is a willing heart for the Lord, willing to forsake all. I said, you came into the world alone. You're going to go out alone. The only way you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven is if you repent. She goes, oh, I know that. And I said, okay. And then you got to be born again. She goes, oh, yeah, the Baptists teach all that. I said, yep, okay, they may say it, but they don't really teach it. She goes, oh, yeah, I see what you mean. I said, and then you have to obey. She goes, yeah, you know what? They don't. She said, oh, they say you're supposed to, but they don't. She goes, that's just wrong. She said, even logically, that's wrong. And I said, you know, one thing they wrongly teach the Baptists, I said, many other denominations too, I said, you have to endure through it all. She goes, yeah, you know what? That never made any sense to me. And I said, it's interesting you say that. Brother James is working with a young man, a brother, and he said the same thing too. It frightened him that they'd say, oh, you're fine, you're fine. Meanwhile, he was frightened of the Lord, which is a good thing because fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. She goes, you know, everything you're saying sounds right. I said, all you need is a willing heart. We went through the gospel. I said, and you need the scriptures to study them and the Holy Spirit. And God will give that all to you with all the knowledge and all the wisdom, and the Holy Spirit will teach you. I said, it says you need no man to teach you, and you can come to the knowledge of the truth by that and not man-made religion. I said, and of course, if you meet people that seem like they're biblical, of course, you test them and you have fellowship with them, and that's what God would have us do. But for you to start that way, seek the Lord, go to Him, and ask Him for the truth and stay out of all that. She goes, that is so awesome. I'm so glad I met you. I said, you know, this is probably an appointed meeting for us. This is great. And so when we were done with that, a couple things just kind of come to mind. The witness, when she talked about their wicked witness of those claiming Christ, people claiming they love God, going to church, or even if maybe they do a home fellowship, whatever, we see it all over. People claim in the name of Christ, but they don't look like it and they don't act like it. Oh, and in our conversation, she said something about, oh, I wonder about my dad. He's very quiet, very nice. He does go to a Baptist church, or maybe he quit, I don't know. And she goes, but he doesn't judge people. And I said, well, we do have to be careful on that judgment. I said, you can't look at somebody and go, oh, they got a wicked heart, they're going to go to hell. you know, just based on how they look. I said, but we do judge a person's fruit if they claim to be of Christ, and it does help us discern. She goes, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And so what you have out there is a wretched witness of those claiming Christ, where they're calling out the sins of the world that they're doing themselves. And so, you know, I was like pondering all this, and I thought, you know, we run into this so much. Us sisters have to be very careful in our witness. And the Word of God tells us that. But it's a good, all these encounters and things that we have in our life is a good reminder to us. Us sisters that we fellowship with, we're always reminding one another of these things, because there's so many things in our flesh that we always have to battle. And so it's a good reminder to us to always watch our witness, not just for the world, but for the glory of God. And there's so many bad witnesses out there. And just a reminder for us to watch our witness, that we're walking in the ways of the Lord. That way we don't blaspheme him and dishonor and disgrace his name. And then the other thing that I was thinking about while I was talking to her is, Brother James and I, we've been on the land here doing a lot of work. And then it seems like every time we go out in the world, almost every time, 9 times out of 10, we get a good opportunity to witness. But I told Brother James yesterday, I said, you know, I think I did pretty good with witnessing to her. I said, I know I did. I was biblical. But when it first started out, it was a little choppy in my mind. And I said, and then all of a sudden, I just kind of laid it all down, and it was like the Spirit flowing from within me. It's like it just kind of clicked and flowed. And I said, I don't think I was walking in the flesh so much in the beginning as ascertaining the situation of who I'm speaking to. Because, like, when we're out on the streets, we're so used to it all the time. We're like, left and right, we're witnessing to all different kinds of people, so it's fluid and it flows. But when you kind of get out of it and then go back in it and get out and go back in, you kind of got to have that mindset, and you really got to train yourself, especially for sisters who don't get out in the world much. Apparently, we'll be planning to head out there soon. But if you don't get out much, take some time before you go, if you know you're going, and put your mind right, get your Ephesians 6 armor on, and pray to the Lord that you'll be able to quickly flip from going about your business that you're doing, because you might be from store to store looking at a shopping list and whatever it is that you're doing. Pray that the Lord will help you see and hear and be ready for those opportunities, that we don't get swept away just living our life here. Because, you know, you think about Ephesians 4, it's for the edification of the saints and training up everybody for the ministry, which is to go and preach the gospel and shine the light of Christ to everybody. We're not here to just have nice gardens and clean houses and well taken care of children or husbands or neighbors or yards and all this other stuff. We're here, number one, to glorify the Lord, and then we're to shine our light and share the truth with those around us. So just a few things to think about and good reminders for us all. And I just thought I would share that with you. And then I think I'm going to close off with this. All right, 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So we see that out there. I'm going to read the next verse in a minute. I just wanted to say, we see that out there so much, especially in America here. So we got to make sure that we're trained up and ready and willing to be able to share that truth with these people who are following all these different fables that we see going on. And then verse 5, a good one for us here. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, I'm not encouraging us sisters to go on the street and start preaching at a loudspeaker or anything. I'm just saying, in our regular lives as we go about, there may be some of you who are called to, that you have the gift that you can speak to people a lot, and you have that desire, and you're kind of set free. You don't have a husband to take care of, or if you do and he's busy and you have time, you might make a ministry to be in those grocery stores or maybe at the parks and stuff, and the Lord's using you greatly to share that truth. But for all of us, regardless of what we're doing, where we are, we need to be ready. We need to be studied. And we need to be willing to share it. And so, anyway, I just thought I would share all that with you. Hopefully that was kind of encouraging to you. And let's see what the rest of our day brings. Brother James is working on the root cellar, and I did some I washed clothes by hand. We're off grid out here, so I have to. And I have a stack of sewing I have to get to. It's modifying some of Brother James' tunic, so that will be coming up soon. But anyway, I better get going on that. It was nice to be able to share with you. Hopefully somebody's encouraged. Let me know how I can help you. We have a lot of resources to help people in all the different doctrines Brother James is always teaching and sharing, and I'm here to encourage godly sisters who want to become godly sisters. I'm here for you. So hold fast, sister saints, and let me know how I can help you. Much love to you all. May God be praised.